Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley. Another episode of High Velocity Radio. Got a full house.
Yeah, we do.
Feel better, more centered now that there's PR people.
Yes,
in the room.
I feel better.
Because earlier
as
today,
lost.
The first time in months, there was not one PR person. It was just the guests.
Yeah.
It never happens.
It's first super time. Rare for that to happen.
But on today's show, it's an exciting show, an important show. We got with us a couple folks from ArtsBridge, and then we're going to close it out with Terrence Height from The Height Effect. So let's kick it off with Jennifer Dobbs and Sarah Clay Linville with ArtsBridge. Welcome.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
So, Jennifer, you want to give it a go and explain what ArtsBridge is doing and how you're serving folks?
Yes. Yeah, so, we're ArtsBridge Foundation. We're located at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center here in Atlanta, and we provide arts education programming for all of our Georgia students, grades K through 12. It is extremely exciting what we do because I'll tell you what, we offer field trips to the Cobb Energy Center. We offer professional development opportunities. We have a Schuller Awards show. We provide family programming, et cetera. Actually, I'm going to have Sarah talk about it much more because she's the director of all those programs. But that's what we do. You know, a lot of times there are budget cuts at schools, and schools can't afford to provide arts education programming to the students, so we try to fill that gap for them.
So now you're working primarily as an extracurricular resource for the schools?
Absolutely. We try to supplement what they're learning in school and definitely tie it into the Common Core and the Georgia Standards of curriculum.
Well, Sarah Clay, can you talk a little bit about how you build those relationships with the schools?
Sure, absolutely. So we offer a lot of field trip programming as well as master classes and family programming. And we work to allow students and teachers to come into our performing arts venue and see live theater in a beautiful performance venue. And we tie our theatrical performances into the curriculum that they are already learning in their classrooms. So it's a unique field trip opportunity for these students to be able to see something live on a stage that connects to something that they are already learning in their day-to-day classes. So a lot of our offerings tie into science or math or history and even language arts. So it's very exciting for them to see a unique performance that's fun and engaging, but also ties into the things that they're already learning.
Well, can you talk about some of the stuff that's upcoming? Because the school year just started. Is there an event that you can share, like how, okay, this play is happening and this is how they're tying it into their curriculum?
Absolutely. So we have 15 field trip offerings this season. And
it's not just plays, though, right? It could be dance. It could be
absolutely.
Music. Absolutely.
Yes. We have Dance Theater of Harlem returning. We have a partnership with the Atlanta Ballet, and they are doing Beauty and the Beast, which is a fantastic performance, and young audiences really prefer that one. So that one's great for K through sixth grade. We also have the Acrobats of Hebei, China, which is good for a Chinese unit, which happens in either fourth grade or seventh grade. And it covers Chinese tradition as well as history, which is unique. We have Dr. Kaboom, which goes into science, and we've got a live experiment happening on stage with that. We also have The Phantom Tollbooth, which is a play that covers the book of The Phantom Tollbooth, so maybe your class is covering that book in your classroom. We also have Artrageous, which is where we have live artists painting on stage to live music with a band and flashing lights, and it's a great party on stage. It's very exciting. The Atlanta Opera is bringing the full-length production of West Side Story to our venue, which is great for high school students. And for our younger audiences, we have The Very Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle. It's the first time we have a early childhood education program offering, and that's great for our pre-K students all the way through second grade. And then also have Earth's Prehistoric Aquarium, which is a great puppetry show that covers prehistoric learning.
Now, the way that it would work is the teachers have the show schedule in advance, and then they can build, like, say that they're talking about dinosaurs or whatever. So they can build it around dinosaurs and then add elements from that show And then when they come to the event, it's kind of more of a 360 kind of view of the show, and they can appreciate it different ways.
That's a great question. Yes. So they can either choose a show that they already have connections to, or we also have educator guides on our website that gives them lesson plans that we've already created for them, lesson activities, pre-show activities, and post-show activities, as well as vocabulary, theater etiquette. So if they have a show that they'd like to attend that they have no lesson planning already done, we've done it for them.
So now, is that just a service of ArtsBridge, or is this something that the performers do on their own and then give that to you?
It's a service of ArtsBridge.
So that's a lot of your work, is you have to go to all these performances, you got to write up all the lesson plans.
That's right. And we do create the curriculum connections there. So we do save a lot of time for our educators because we know they're busy.
Right.
And having been an educator myself, I know that there's a lot of time that goes into this. So we want to make it as easy and efficient as possible for these educators.
Now, is the performance always kind of the main thrust of things, or do you sometimes have a chance to go behind the scenes and see how a production is put together and see that element as well?
Ah, yes. We offer behind the scenes tours as well. And the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center is a beautiful venue, and we have a lot of schools that come in to see this great space. They even get to go above the audience on the catwalk. That's not something that students get to do usually.
Right.
So it's something that we offer in a separate tour.
And then, so you get that element of it. Do you ever get a chance to talk to the performers, like an after show, and do that as well?
We sure do. We've got some of our shows that are able to stay longer and do a Q&A following the show. Our Artrageous show, that is our first show of the season happening in October, is doing a Q&A following our 12-15 production. And Synergy, our partnership with Kennesaw State University, also comes out into the audience after the show, and they answer a lot of questions as well.
Now, how much of your time is reaching out to the schools and the teachers to just let them be aware of this and to see if there's ways for them to participate?
I'd say it's a year-long process.
Is it?
It sure is. We want to make sure that we make these educators aware of the offerings that we have. And we also work with our educators to make sure that we are offering what they need. So we have an education advisory committee that we work with year-round to ensure that we are giving them the curriculum connections that they want in their class.
So that's how part of how you choose which performances will be there is based on the needs of the schools?
It sure is.
Now, when you're working with a school, how do you handle the cost element of this? Do you help with the fundraising, or is this... How does it get funded?
I'm grateful to say that we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that it is a very difficult part of bringing any student into any field trip opportunity is paying for it. And so we have financial aid opportunities for every student. Our mission is to give access to every student in Georgia arts education. So
ArtsBridge is beyond the metro area. It's the entire state.
It sure is. Yes. It's something that is not well known. But yes, our goal is to give arts education to every student across the state.
So how does that come into play, like from the, you know, the rural areas and the ones that, you know, could be a 4 or 5 hour drive?
So we actually, as part of our financial aid subsidy program, we provide subsidy for tickets, and we also provide bus transportation. Because actually that's part of the biggest barrier is the cost of bus transportation. Yes.
Is more than the tickets?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
We don't want those type of barriers to access when it comes to our education programming. So for a lot of schools that are Title I, that means they have a high percentage of students in need. We offer subsidized tickets that are $6 a piece. And then we try to, for those who apply for financial aid, to pay the cost of their busing. I mean, we have some folks who are coming from hours away.
Right.
You know, to
Georgia's
attend.
Big.
It's big. It's very big. And so we work tirelessly year-round to raise funds from the community to support their access to the arts.
Do you partner with other arts programs in other parts of the state, or it's primarily the Cobb Energy?
Oh, no. As we said, we have a partnership Kennesaw University College of the Arts. We also have partnerships in Savannah, Georgia, and
right, because there's performances happening all over the state. So then you can use your kind of efficiencies to help them partner with the schools in their area.
Well, how we work is that our education advisory committee, and Sarah can speak to this more, there's 30 members located in 19 different counties. Mm-hmm. And through them, we establish partnerships as far as some of our programming, especially the Schuler Awards. Sarah can speak to that a little bit better.
Absolutely. So we work with educators across the state to develop partnerships in different communities around the state of Georgia to ensure that we are bringing arts opportunities into the communities that right. are needed.
And there are opportunities all over the state. Atlanta has a lot. It's the biggest city, but there's still stuff happening in Macon, Augusta, Savannah.
There sure are. Mm-hmm. And we are able to learn about those opportunities and learn how we are able to collaborate.
Right. And that's what it's all about is, right, mm-hmm. is creating good collaboration between all of the groups.
You are right there. Absolutely.
Now, do you get a chance to go around the state?
We do. We have had opportunities to go to Georgia Thespian Conference, which happens in Columbus, but we also have the opportunity. So we as an organization do not travel. However, we service schools from all over the state through the Georgia High School Musical Theater Awards. We have 75 schools that we evaluate from all over the state that are participants in the Schuler Hensley Awards or Georgia High School Musical Theater Awards, and they are evaluated. Their musical theater productions are evaluated throughout the entire school year, and then from their evaluations, they are scored, and we receive their top scoring. Those top scores are then brought in, and we receive our nominees, and those nominees are then brought into the Cobb Energy Center, and we have our award show, and then we
award
the top.
It's an annual award show that's televised. It's a big deal.
Correct.
It is, and by the way, it just won a Southeast Emmy this year for
wow.
special event live coverage, so yeah, we're
that's a
very, it's a first time. We're very proud of it.
And then that's pulling the talent, the musical theater talent from all over the state.
It sure is.
So now, for you, what do you need more of?
We need more money.
Money.
and here's the thing. Our goal, we just did a strategic plan. Our goal is very simple. It has two pieces. Raise more money, serve more kids.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing for us, the best part of our day, outside of all the administrative stuff, is when we see these kids who have entered the building for the first time,
right.
who never thought that they were worthy of walking into the building.
They may not have seen a play or
they've never seen
some of these performances.
They have never even thought about the fact that they have an opportunity to be on that stage.
Right.
That's what warms our heart, because even if they don't decide to go into the field of the arts, if they don't decide to be a singer or a dancer, it will impact them, their ingenuity, their genius in other areas, as far as being a CEO or a doctor or a teacher, it will absolutely impact their trajectory. And so to do this, to make sure that there are no barriers for those who don't necessarily have access to this, we need more funds to be able to help subsidize their participation in our programming.
And then can you share maybe some reasons what's in it for business people to really embrace this and get involved in this?
Well, these people are going to be your future employees, and it's an investment. It's altruistic in that you're helping your fellow citizen, of course, but it's an investment in your potential future employee who is going to bring all of their gifts and talents to your business to help improve whatever model, whatever mission you have. So it's giving back, reaching down, lifting up, and really helping these students to realize their potential, and therefore helping them to realize their own potential.
Yeah, I think it's a disservice that the school system has kind of eliminated the arts in a lot of the schools, because as an entrepreneur and interviewed thousands of entrepreneurs, I believe entrepreneurs are artists in the sense that we create something from nothing. And that's at the heart of the arts. Mm-hmm. And to make it seem like that's not important is a disservice, I think, to children.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are so wonderfully created, so wonderfully unjaded.
Right.
Until they get jaded by us, right? And we don't want to do that. We want to continue to allow them to be creative and open-minded.
And that anything is possible.
Yes, feel like they can impact the world however it is right. they want. And we can't do all things, but what we can do is this. And so, and we do it very well. And so if people are supporting us with their financial donations, they then know that they are truly impacting someone's life.
That's right. I mean, giving the child the opportunity to see a performance of these talented people from all over the country they come in, or all over the world, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the things that inspire people to be great or try different things that they never thought possible.
That's exactly it. And it inspires us to work harder for them.
Right.
You know, and so, yes, for all of those listening out mm-hmm. there, you know, consider investing in the life of one of these students or more of these students that we are serving.
So now the way that a business can invest in this is through a sponsorship of some kind. There's different sponsor opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. They can sponsor the financial aid subsidy program. They can be a sponsor for the Schuler Awards program, which is a year-round program. You know, they can sponsor scholarships for students to participate in professional development opportunities. There's so many ways, but if they go to our website, which if you don't mind me telling them, is artsbridgega.org, they can go to that website and they can make an investment in one of those programs.
Now, what about, you mentioned transportation as a challenge. How about some of these transportation companies? Do you have partnerships with some of the busing companies and things like that?
Yes. So one that has been extremely supportive and loves our mission and works with us is His Majesty Charter Bus Company. And they actually help support us as far as the family programs that we offer. Our family programming is our direct community outreach program. We work with a lot of community foundations, organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc., Walton Communities, etc. And what we do to allow a lot of families, many of whom are low to mid income and or are single parent homes, we provide them tickets and round trip transportation to see a family program at Cobb Energy Center. And His Majesty Coaches works with us, but we would absolutely love for other organizations to help us with in-kind services, whether it be transportation from them or, let's say, First Student, you know, busing company. You know, again, when it comes to in-kind, helping to provide food for some of the programs we have, you know, anything they can do is a help to us to serve them.
So then a lot of these companies, that if they're interested, they should reach out to you and then have a conversation and just explore the different ways that you guys can work together?
Oh, absolutely. We're open to, you know, any innovative ideas. Obviously, we need funds, but we need in-kind. They can contact me. My name is Jennifer Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S. I'm the executive director of ArtsBridge. They can reach me at artsbridgega.org or 770-916-2803.
Now, as we mentioned, the school year has just begun. So now are the kids starting to come? Like now the train's left the station, right?
Yes. October is when our first field trip begins, and then we will go all the way through May. So we are very excited to begin this field trip.
So this program's aligned
season
with the school year.
It sure is.
And then they can reach out to you if they're not involved yet. Is it too late for them to be involved?
It's never too late.
Okay, so if there's a school that says, hey, we're interested in exploring this, they reach out to you. Who gets that call?
Absolutely. That you can reach out to us at artsbridgega.org, or you can contact either Jennifer, myself, Sarah, or our team directly. And we will be thrilled to assist you. And if you are fearful that you may not be able to attend one of these programs, please still reach out, because we have so many programs that will be able to assist you. We want you to
attend. And it's not
just
the theater program. Like, it could be the science or the math, or it could be anybody, right? Because these shows touch on all that.
That's right.
They do. I mean, for instance, we have a, we're the only one in the state who works with the National Association for College Admission Counseling. And we have an annual free Performing and Visual Arts College Fair. This year, it's on October 29th. There will be 100 colleges represented. And before the fair, there's going to be an hour panel on financial aid and some other issues that, that those attending college might deal with. And so, you know, we're willing to work with you to figure out how, you know, how can you get there? Because we don't want you to miss out on an opportunity to understand how you can further your career. So, you know, we have the field trips, but we have so many other programs mm-hmm. that everyone has a place in them.
So can either of you share some, like, a story that surprised you or inspired you from doing your work?
Absolutely. So recently, this past April, during the Georgia High School Musical Theater Awards, it was my first experience with these awards, and I was first of all blown away with the amount of talent, enthusiasm, and passion that these students exhibited. And there was one student who was very nervous about going on stage, and this was 2 minutes until we were live, because it was a live, it's a live broadcast show, and she had a solo in the opening number, and she was backstage, and I happened to pass her backstage, and she was in tears and she was very nervous, and she said, I can't do it. And I looked at her and I said, you absolutely can. You were chosen to do this because you can, and I know you can. She said, my theater director is out there and she doesn't believe in me, and I didn't think she was going to be here. And I said, well, that doesn't matter. And you were chosen because you are the right person to do this, and you are going to shine. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And go out there and prove anybody who tells you no wrong. It's time to, you know, to shine. And she went out there and she did it. And she decided that she wanted to pursue the arts as her, as her college dream. And she wrote me an email the next week and told me that she had never had anybody believe in her that way. And for me, that was just a one passing moment. But,
and it kind of breaks your heart, right?
Yes. And it just shows how important it is to have somebody advocate for you, most especially in the arts.
Right. So, Jennifer, any stories that stand out for you?
Well, my story would just be the first day, the first time I experienced a field trip with the organization. And I had this beautiful little kid come up to me, and she walked in the building. She was dressed like a princess that day. You know, students must have been instructed to dress up because they were coming to the theater.
Right.
And she walked in and she walked over to me and gave me a hug and said, thank you so much. I feel like a princess today. I can't believe I'm here. Can I go on the stage? And it was something so sweet and simple. But it just helped me to my heart burst open, because
right.
I thought, oh my gosh, I will do whatever it takes.
And now you see the impact you're making.
Yes, yes. And so you don't always know the impact you're making, but every now and then, like Sarah said, you get an email, or, you know, you get a smile, or you get some feedback to let you know that you have touched someone. And I can speak for myself in saying that doing this is a blessing, that I get to be a pass through to provide a means to help someone meet their gift, their talent, their mission, whatever it is, you know? So I think that's what it was for me, was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, it's very important work, and I thank you both for doing it every day. And again, if somebody wanted to learn more, if there's a company that wants to support the effort, what's the best way to find you guys?
Best way is to go to our website, artsbridgega.org, or call me, 770-916-2803. My name is Jennifer Dobbs. I'm the executive director, and I truly appreciate any and every ounce of help that you want to give us in helping to meet our mission and serving Georgia's students.
And the performances are ready to start, right? We're just a few weeks away.
We sure are. Make sure you come see us.
All right. Well, thank you both for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
All right. Hang with us. We've got one more guest. Next up on High Velocity Radio is Terrence Height with The Height Effect. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you share a little bit about The Height Effect? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So what The Height Effect is a strategy and operations consulting firm. We help working adults and small businesses take cost-efficient steps towards building their businesses. So you can think of us as the business setup team, essentially.
So now how'd you get into this line of work?
All right. So I've been working with businesses since really my whole life, but more formally around the age of 20. I started my first, which was a record label, and it failed. Then worked with a couple more in between, started another business, a healthcare software company, did it for a year, raised money, still failed. So I said, you know, all these businesses.
Did they fail, or these are just learning opportunities?
Learning opportunities. And I guess that's the point of it. Yeah. But, you know, there was a study on Bloomberg that says 8 out of 10 businesses fail within the first 18 months. And I said, how can I address that? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, went to school, got an executive MBA from Kennesaw State University. And, you know, I came back and said, how can I help these entrepreneurs? So let's focus on the education and the enterprise and help them by educating the entrepreneurs, you know, giving them the business acumen skills and the intellect skills needed, as well as helping them with the infrastructure and the execution through the enterprise consulting piece.
So now, do they come to you before they're ready to go, or after they've had some hardship?
So it would depend. Some people come to us with the idea. So we have something on our website called the idea calculator, where you can narrow down your ideas. So people come to us at that phase, all the way up to, you know, have small businesses that we work with that are already operating that haven't validated their business model.
Oh, so they're operating, but they don't know if their business model is going to work?
Correct.
Do you see that a lot?
I do. Yeah. So we have a you know, the business model calculator. We call it the motel analysis. Is something we do when we evaluate the market, operational, technical, and legal aspects of the business. We bring in various resources there, you know, attorneys, technical experts. And that way we can validate the business model and tell them, you know, help them predict a long-term sustainability.
Now, do you see mistakes that entrepreneurs make over and over?
Absolutely. No separation between their business and personal finances. That is one of the biggest things. Not filing taxes correctly, not keeping up with their books. I mean, operational issues. Again, a lot of times the business model is not sound, so they're going to have to, you know, continue raising money because they're not making any money off of the products, the operations of the business. So, and they don't realize that.
So now, how do you kind of see if they have a viable idea or not?
Well, with the motel analysis, which we call it, we sit with them maybe about a 1 to 2 hour process, and we say, okay, give us your idea, give us your chaos essentially, and let us structure it for you. And then we look at industry standards, best practices, and then provide them with a detailed report. Again, with you know, myself doing the operations piece, we have a marketing individual, attorney doing the legal piece, and then a technical individual doing the technical piece. And we put all those together in a document and say, here you go. And this is how you can execute it.
Now, do you sit down with them? You're all in one room together and you have this big brainstorming
conversation? Yes, we do. And we come together, you know, take a ton of notes. We have a pre-engagement assessment, as we call it, that they fill out prior to meeting with us.
So now, can you share some of your success stories, some person that you've helped take to the next level?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest was actually one of my first clients called Golden Barbie Hair. So they provide 100% human hair extensions for all races, which is rare that you see one company provide hair like that. But, I mean, he came to me initially several months in, very successful. I mean, literally selling it out of his car and just selling it how he could. And we said, you know, let's structure this business. Let's get you a website up, you know, the marketing plan, et cetera. We did that. It's been right at 9 months, and he's going to be in his first store here in the coming month. Wow. Up in Kennesaw. So that's very, very exciting, huge deal there.
So now, how is it different for you, where you've had your own businesses that you were kind of the – service, product, whatever it is, and now here you are as kind of a tool for other business people. Has that been a difficult shift for you?
It hasn't. I realized that I'm in love with the process of building businesses, and that's essentially what it is in that. So I say, let me stay in that area, which is the business building phase, and help really instill the fundamentals to the different business owners that I meet.
And then once they get going, then do you kind of step back, or is this something where you have an ongoing relationship?
Right. So it would depend on the business owner. You know, the next phase after the motel analysis, after we validate the business models, we get them a business plan, because we truly believe in having a plan and knowing where you're going. So at that point, you know, that's an extensive process there. After that, we can go into the marketing strategy piece, which is another, you know, 2 to 3 months that we can help them, and we can help them with the execution. Then on the back end, you know, if they're at the point of wanting full-time consulting with an execution help, that's when we come in, you know, take an equity stake in the business and then help them execute the entire business strategy and marketing plan.
Have you had any clients that asked for that yet?
Yes. So actually, the Golden Barbie Hair, we're actually in discussions with them about an equity deal. And they've had us on retainer since they started, after they got the website, because they were like, we absolutely want to do that.
So now for you, how do you get in front of business owners? Because it seems like there's a lot of them out there, but it's hard to find the ones that are a right fit.
It is, absolutely. So a lot of social media marketing, we've actually found a lot of benefit in it. Even though the social media marketing is more so B2C, that's typically, you know, who we're marketing to, with or you know, customers who haven't yet built a business, right. So it's not B2B. So that way, speaking engagements, you know, I speak at Georgia State University and Kennesaw State University regularly, and I've actually, you know, had businesses come out of there. An intern came out of Kennesaw State University, so various ways.
So now, when you're speaking, is your sweet spot, you think, the young entrepreneur that's just kind of inexperienced?
Well, with that, we've kind of just leveraged the, I guess, visibility of that, and we know that, you know, entrepreneurship is a big thing now. So for those people, that's kind of like that long-term investment. Other than that, though, the social media piece, we found, you know, our target demographic are, you know, middle-aged working class people. So we're able to make our advertisements geared towards them on Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, et cetera. And that's how we've been able to really.
And are they doing it kind of as a side hustle, or is it kind of all in yet?
Yeah. So that's really what we say, is we help turn your side hustle into a legitimate business. Uh-huh. And that's I would say maybe 40% to 50% of our business. And then the other half is the established businesses that are already out there operating.
Now, how do you feel the Atlanta business kind of community is? Are you pretty bullish about it? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tremendous market, especially, you know, in the tech space, the healthcare space, for women, minority women. I mean, there's so many, you know, incubators, accelerators, and resources around. You know, angel investors are everywhere. Private lenders are everywhere. I mean, Atlanta is the place to start businesses, I think.
Now, as part of your service, do you help them get funding? Like, if they need to get a loan, do you help them get their paperwork in place, things like that?
We do. So we have relationships with various private lenders. We kind of go on that route versus the traditional banks, because it's a lot harder for startup businesses to get money. So through the private lenders, we help them with loans. And then through the relationships I made in 2016 when I was pitching to investors, we have the relationship with angel investors there.
And then so you help them with the money part of it. You help them get their idea fleshed out.
Yes.
And then you help them roll it out. So like if they need marketing automation or website design, you have resources that help them as well.
Absolutely. And what we've done is we built strategic partnerships where the website individual, for instance, is under our company. Right. So we're not the ones doing it. We're really finding the expert for them.
Right.
The same thing with the funding, the marketing people. We have digital marketing strategists, digital marketing companies that we work with.
So that you have, they're not your firm, but they're partners.
Correct.
Or preferred vendors or something.
Yeah, they essentially white label their services under us. So,
Now, are most of your clients here in the metro area, or you have them all over the world?
All over, really. We're all over Georgia as of now, but ironically from my hometown, Rome, Georgia. I've had several clients come out of there. So actually,
that's where you're from.
That's where I'm from, yeah.
And then how did the relationship with Kennesaw start?
Through grad school. So I went through the executive MBA program in 2016.
But is that the executive, you physically go there, or is that something that's done?
No, so you physically go on a Saturday and Sunday, 8 hours for 18 months. Yes. So it's 100% in the class. Amazing experience.
So you enjoyed that?
Absolutely. I'm on the Executive MBA Alumni Advisory Council, so I advocate for the Executive MBA program. So if anybody's listening out there and wants an Executive MBA, hey, go to KSU.
How did you choose that amongst all the other ones that are out there?
So funny, I was going to go to law school. I initially majored in political science, going to go to law school, and said, no, I don't want to do this. I built all these businesses. I'm going to go get a business degree. I looked at various programs and ended up having on a certain suit that day and a certain tie from a good friend of mine that worked at Wells Fargo. And I said, I'm going to go to that info session. I went, got an interview, and got accepted into the program.
And then the program was very hands-on, like you're doing things
absolutely
that are real, not kind of theoretical.
Right, right. And it was a neat experience for me because I was, I believe, amongst the three youngest in the class. I was 25 when I got into the program. The
most people are doing that, like,
right,
the second act like, in their career.
Right, right. And so for me, it was a great learning experience to learn from established, you know, business
professionals. Right, they had already been doing it.
Right, right.
So that helped you network, and that alumni network is probably just worth the cost of the executive
absolutely
MBA.
Hands down. I mean, just the hands down. That's all I can say.
Right, because now you can call somebody up that went through it as well, and
yeah,
they'll take your call.
Right, and a lot of the deals that I'm getting for some of my clients are through my previous classmates. So
now, as part of your marketing, do you have plans like to write a book or do some thought leadership like that?
You
mentioned speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a conference coming up in November. So we're working out the details of that, as well as we're going to do an event in September and also in October that's going to lead up to that conference where we're going to bring some of our partners in. And then at that big event in November, we'll have all our partners there. And then also a book, we've been looking into that for sometime next year.
As thought leadership for the brand? Or you as you're trying to brand yourself individually?
More so for the business because, for instance, we're putting out a lot of video content teaching things. So I'm going to have, you know, our tech guy. He's going to be putting out tech videos. Our intern's going to be putting out more of those foundational business type videos.
Right.
So we're getting the entire team involved. So it's not just me out there. You know, it's our entire team speaking and putting out videos and showing we have, you know, true substance with what we're doing.
Now, maybe you can share some ideas on how to onboard an intern and how to get the most out of them because they're young, right?
Yes,
and a lot of energy and enthusiasm. How do you kind of wrangle that energy and point them in the direction that serves you and your firm?
Absolutely. So I first started managing interns. I believe I was 22 working with another startup. I had five interns from the University of Georgia. So it was a good experience there. But what I found is that by being hands-on initially and then also with them being millennials and me being millennial, we kind of can relate. So essentially, I just say, you know, this is your world. This is your platform. Do what it is you want to do and create what you want to create. And our intern, his name's Miko. He's been amazing. I mean,
so you tremendous give him a lot of autonomy.
A ton.
Then how do you give him feedback on how he's doing? Do more of this, less of that?
Yes. So, I mean, even something from the meeting notes, he took tremendous notes. I'm like, okay, these notes are detailed. Let's kind of make it more high level. I mean, and within an instant, he had them perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so then how do you leverage the intern in your business? So he's helping with social media and that, but is he helping clients as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So clients. So he's a graduate of Kennesaw State University. And, what we've realized, I'm like, okay, let's make sure that we're giving you work that's relevant to you. So, you know, we have executive assistant. So we're kind of, I let him do some of those tasks so he can get familiar with them, just to know him as a business leader. Now we've passed them off. So we're starting to slowly take tasks away and get him more client facing essentially.
So now for you, what do you need more of? Mm-hmm.
I need more business owners that are ready to learn and ready to start their businesses if they have ideas.
So if you have in the back of your mind this dream of, hey, this might be something, that's a good spot to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. If they are ready to make that investment in themselves, cause what we say is essentially we can come in and replace an entire FTE, you know, for a fraction of the cost. You could pay us $5,000 in a year versus hiring a full-time employee for $40,000 and get, you know, a higher level of service.
And then the way that you start is with some sort of an assessment to kind of see where they're at.
Yeah. And then we have our own internal grading system, I guess. And we have an entrepreneur stage, a startup stage, and then a small business stage. We tell them where they are. And then based off of that, we give the recommendations as to what it is we can help them with.
And then what the next steps are.
Absolutely.
So even at the end of this, just going through that process, they'll have some actionable plan.
They will. Yeah. And that's why we charge for the consultation because we give actionable stuff. You know, we feel like the content is free. The execution is the hard part.
Right.
So that's why we just say, okay, we'll give it to you. You have to execute it.
Right. And then they can execute it themselves or they can hire you to help them execute it.
Right. And that's what's happened 90% of the time. They come back. I mean, I'd say almost all of the clients we've had have been repeat clients because they said, okay, we know you can execute it. We liked how you did this and that. It may have taken us 3 months to get you back, but hey, we're back and we're ready.
And then these people that are a good fit for you, they've been a combination of startups with an idea. They could be young, they could be in college and have some buddies, and that's a good fit. Or it could be that person within the back of their head, they say, hey, I got this dream that I'd like to make happen.
Absolutely. Those are that sweet spot for us. And like I said, you know, we can help with the funding. A lot of businesses feel they need funding, so we are able to talk them out of that because a lot of times they don't need the funding at the time that they think they do. So, you know, we were able to say, okay, these are the resources you need as opposed to the funding that you think you need. And then this is how, you know, you'll get to the point of needing funding.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to have that first conversation with you?
Absolutely. So you can check out our website. It's theheighteffect.com. Or you can contact us. Best way is contact@theheighteffect.com. And those emails will get routed to me.
And then you're active on Twitter, LinkedIn. They can find you anywhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah, I mean, it's at Terrence Height Jr. And that's TerrenceHightJr. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.